Aprapya. Not achieving the goal. Yaha. He who. Ekaha. One without a second. Manasa. The mind. Saha. With. Anama. With no material name. Rupaha. Or material form. Chitmatraha. Totally spiritual. Saha. He. Avyat. May kindly protect. Naha. Us. Sat asat padaha. Who is the cause of all causes? The supreme cause. Is a translation. The words and mind of the conditioned soul cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for material names and forms are not applicable to the Lord, who is entirely spiritual beyond the conception of gross and subtle forms. The impersonal Brahman is another of his forms. May he, by his pleasure, protect us. I can repeat. The words and mind of the conditioned soul. Cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For material names and forms are not applicable to the Lord, who is entirely spiritual, beyond the conception of gross and subtle forms. The impersonal Brahman is another of his forms. May he, by his pleasure, protect us. So, purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The impersonal Brahman, which is the effulgence of the Lord, is described in this verse. So this is a very short purport, and I think the next purport is very short, so we'll go on, read the next three verses, and the fourth verse has a lengthy purport. So text 22.
Yasmin idam yatascedam tishyatyapyeti jayate amrinmayeshviva mrityatis tasmaite brahmanehi namaha.
As pots made completely of earth are situated on earth after being created and are transformed into earth again when broken, this cosmic manifestation is caused by the Supreme Brahman situated in the Supreme Brahman and annihilated in the same Supreme Brahman. Therefore, since the Supreme Lord is the cause of Brahman, let us offer him our respectful obeisances. So Srila Prabhupada explains that the Supreme Lord is the cause of the cosmic manifestation. He maintains it after creation, and after annihilation, the Lord is the reservoir of everything. And text 23.
Yanna sprishanti na vitur mano budindri yasavaha antarvahischa vitatnam yoma vaktanatom smyaham.
The Supreme Brahman emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and expands like the sky. Although untouched by anything material, it exists within and without. Nonetheless, the mind, intelligence, senses, and living force can neither touch him nor know him. I offer unto him my respectful obeisances. And finally, text 24.
Dehendriya pranamano diosmi.
Diosmi.
Yadam savida pracharanti karmasu naivanyadak lohom eva prataptam saneshuta drashtra padeshameti.
As iron has the power to burn when made red hot in the association of fire, so the body, senses, living force, mind, and intelligence, although merely lumps of matter, can function in their activities when infused with a particle of consciousness by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As iron cannot burn unless heated by fire, the bodily senses cannot act unless favored by the Supreme Brahman. So purport, red hot iron can burn, but it cannot burn the original fire. Therefore, the consciousness of the small particle of Brahman is fully dependent on the power of the Supreme Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Matak smritya, jnanam apoanam cha. For me, the conditioned soul receives memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The power for activities comes from the Supreme Lord, and when the Lord withdraws this power, the conditioned soul no longer has energy with which to act through his various senses. The body includes 5 knowledge-acquiring senses, 5 active senses, and the mind, but actually these are merely lumps of matter. For example, the brain is nothing but matter, but when electrified by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the brain can act just as iron can burn when made red hot by the influence of fire. The brain can act while we are awake or even while we are dreaming. But when we are fast asleep or unconscious, the brain is inactive. Since the brain is a lump of matter, it does not have independent power with which to act. It can act only when favored by the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Brahman or Param Brahman. This is the way to understand how the Supreme Brahman Krishna is present everywhere, just as the sunshine is present because of the sun god in the sun globe. The Supreme Lord is called Rishikesha. He is the only conductor of the senses. Unless empowered by his energy, our senses cannot act. In other words, he is the only seer, the only worker, the only listener, and the only active principle or supreme controller. So, Om Magana Chivananda Shah, Nanjana Shlakaya Chakshur, Meditam Yena Tismai, Shri Gurave Namaha. So these are verses that Narada Muni is teaching to King Chitraketu to chant as part of his sadhana process. Of course, King Chitraketu needs to be awakened as to his actual identity. And therefore, these initial verses are more or less in the mood of, let's say, Shanta Ras. Shanta Ras means peacefulness. Peaceful, understanding the greatness and glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so this indicates the gradual process by which one becomes detached from the material world. In other words, you can't jump up immediately to Vatsalya Ras or Satya Ras or what to speak of Madhurya Ras. Of course, you can serve, but usually, initially, the service is something we call the Gyata Sukriti, that one doesn't have knowledge. So first of all, one has to have knowledge, which is actually part of Shanta, or another word for that is Sambandha Gyan, you know, the 3 types of knowledge. There's Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya Gyan, and Prayojana. So Sambandha means the basic knowledge in which one develops a sense of awe and reverence, and then Abhideya, what you do about it, which for us means the principles of bhakti yoga, sadhana bhakti, beginning with Vaidhi, and then Raghunuga, and Bhava, and then finally Prema. And Prayojana means the understanding of the spiritual realm, what is the ultimate goal. And we also see in Lord Chaitanya's Shikshashika that Lord Chaitanya deals with these different subject matters in a hierarchical way. In other words, he starts the Shikshashika prayers with Sambandha Gyan, which is basically glorifying the holy name. Basically, the first 2 of them are actually glorifying just the knowledge about the name, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam, that the name cleanses the dirt in the heart, it gives you the nectar for which you're always anxious, is the life of all transcendental knowledge, the Jivadu Jivanam. Actually, sometimes the translation is, it's the wife of all transcendental knowledge, Vijivadu Jivanam. Anandam Bhuti Vardhanam. It gives you unlimited bliss, Pratipadam, at every step, Pratipadam Purnamrita Svadhanam. And Sarva, all glories to the holy name. So it's a general explanation. It's actually Sambandha Gyan. And then the second one, of course, is similar. Namanamakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktish. That, oh Lord, you have invested all your transcendental potency in your names, and therefore you have thousands and millions of names, like Krishna and Govinda, etc. And then it ends with, you know, but unfortunate, as fortunate as I am, I have no taste for chanting these names. So you start to get into a little bit of application there, you know, the humility. Because humility is actually essential. In other words, one really has to get smashed a little bit for most of us before we can actually begin to execute Abhideya. Yeah, and I was just remembering this story in the Jiva Dharma, which is really interesting, how someone got smashed and then he started to inquire as to the absolute truth. This is a story about a couple, you know, very nice couple, a Jewish couple. No, anyway, they were very stingy. Sounded like that, isn't it? Like Uncle Scrooge and his wife. Damayanti and Chandidas. And they were actually merchants. Merchants means, you know, you buy something at a low price and you sell it at a high price. Like Prabhupada was once asked, should we teach the children about business in Gurukul? Prabhupada said, no, why? Why should we teach people how to cheat? You know, it's either in the blood or it's not in the blood. Of course, there's more in business to be understood than that. I mean, of course, there's accounting, there's interpersonal relations, you know, how to manage a company, you know, so many different things like that. But that's management. Actually, that's more like Kshatriya stuff. So, but actually, the interesting thing about a businessman, according to Krishna in the Gita, is that the Vaishya has unlimited desires for wealth. He's never satisfied with any amount of wealth. It's interesting. And you see this. I mean, I'm not saying with all businessmen, it's like that. Some people like Bill Gates is, you know, very, very merciful, and some other people like that. So anyway, there was this couple, Chandidas and Damayanti, and they were really good at business. And they acquired a lot of money, but they were stingy as hell. They wouldn't entertain any devotees in their house or any guests or anything like that. This is actually a typical example, they themselves lived extremely austerely just so they could keep money and save money. You see this sometimes, like people are really stingy. They won't even spend money on themselves. They'll wear like clothes with holes in them and things like that. And, you know, they just won't buy new clothes for themselves because they just don't want to waste money. They just want to keep it in the bank. Of course, in Kali Yuga, the one who keeps too much wealth or money brings Kali there, you know, the personality of Kali. But wealth, of course, that is kept for emergencies, that's a different thing, or wealth that is kept for doing some project in Krishna consciousness, or anyway, there's different authorized ways to deal with wealth. So in any case, so Damayanti and Chandidas, they acquired all this wealth. They even buried some in their bedroom, which is quite interesting. I remember when I was young, my brother would keep money under his mattress. Fortunately, I knew where it was. So anyways, it's like that. They get this pleasure instead of getting pleasure from, you know, like loving exchanges, it's called oxytocin. Instead of getting pleasure from that, they get pleasure from just touching the money. You know, somehow or other, they get like a hormonal release. So anyway, so he was, it was like that. He and his wife were very stingy, and they had children, some sons and daughters. The daughters, they got married, so the daughters weren't a problem. But the sons were actually quite a problem because the sons, they actually imbibed the same spirit as their parents. And that means when you're just like attached to money, you don't give a damn for your family members either. And also they trained up their wives yeah, that is the daughter-in-laws, who actually become stingy as hell, too. So they were all like a family of stingy people. So the sons actually took over the businesses. They were doing quite well, but the father still had some money that he was hiding, quite a bit of money. So he was noticing, because the sons had imbibed a stingy attitude, that the sons really didn't care for him or his wife. They treated them like dirt. So he thought, you know, how can I get my sons to treat me nicely? So he said, well, I should just reveal to them that I have this hidden wealth. And I just say, you know, whoever treats me the best, you know, this is how a Vaishya thinks, you know, everything is based on money exchange. You know, whoever loves me the most, they get my money when I leave my body. So he said that he met with his sons, and he said, my dear sons, I love you all. I notice you've been neglecting me of late, but I got news for you. Anyone who treats me nicely, any of you treat me nicely, you will get this inheritance, which I've actually hidden and saved. So the sons and the daughters-in-laws, they had a meeting that night, and they thought, well, we're not going to wait until we get this money from this guy. We're going to send him on pilgrimage. So they had this whole plan. Let's send him on pilgrimage. When he's on pilgrimage, we're going to break into his room. So the next day, they went to their father and mother and said, oh, we love you so much. We really want you to go on pilgrimage now that you're getting old. You know, we'll arrange for conveyance. We'll arrange for everything. We'll arrange for this nice Vaishnavi lady to take you on pilgrimage. And the parents looked at each other and said, finally, our children love us. No, the material love. Finally, our children love us. Okay. So they began on pilgrimage, and when they went on pilgrimage, the first thing the children did is break into the room, you know, dig under the earth or wherever the wealth was hidden. And they got all these gold coins, and they were in ecstasy. And so the parents were like halfway there to the pilgrimage place, and when they heard the news that was conveyed by someone who came from their same village, they became very upset and thought, you know, what are we going to do? And then the Vaishnavi simply said, you know, you go on pilgrimage. And so you should forget about this family. There's no love in the material world. So they went on pilgrimage. And being on pilgrimage, after a while, you know, the desire to see their children just came back in their hearts. It's like that. It's like that. You know, sometimes you can have this, what is it called, renunciation of the smarshana vairagya. Renunciation of the crematorium. When something really heavy happens, you say, I don't want any more to do with these bad devotees. And then, after a while, you know, sentimentality rears its ugly head in your heart. And you think, but they're actually my sons. They love me. So they actually begin to think like that. And then they said to the Vaishnavi, we're going to actually go back because they love us. And she said, what are you, crazy? I mean, if you go back, you're going to get killed by them. You know, sometimes parents get killed by children because the children want wealth. I mean, like you have Aurangzeb, who basically imprisoned Shahjahan because he wanted to take over the kingdom. You find this amongst the Muslims a lot, amongst the Mughals in India, that they brothers would kill brothers, and sons would kill fathers, and mothers, even in the story of Chitraketu, you know, you have the ladies killing this Harshashoka, who was born to another lady. Anyway, so they just stay in the holy place, and gradually they begin to understand the faults of their previous existence. And because they're Vaishyas, though, you know, you can't take Vaishya out of someone's blood. They begin a business. It's interesting. Actually, it's a fact that no matter what one's nature is, if one goes somewhere, one will actually just act according to one's nature. If one's a Vaishya, then I remember there was one devotee. I mean, he's not a sannyasi. Now, he was a sannyasi. He took sannyas. And, Vaishya psychology. And wherever he would go, he would open up his jacket and he'd be selling incense. Yeah, I mean, it's a fact. And he's a good friend of mine, actually. He took sannyas with me at the same time. And it was just like buying and selling, you know, wherever, whatever temple he visited. So you can't really take it out of someone's blood, someone's consciousness. Like Krishna said to Arjuna in the Gita that if you don't fight for me by your nature, you're going to be forced to fight. So anyway, he opened up a grocery store and he borrowed money to open up a grocery store because they had no money at that particular time, and they gradually made money, but they were entertaining Vaishnavas every day and taking care of the Vaishnavas and the Holy Dhamma, and gradually their consciousness became purified. And eventually they went to visit the sadhus at Surabhipunj, and they got enlightened in Krishna consciousness, and they became pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the point I'm making is that sometimes it takes a real shock to see the naked reality of this world, the naked face of Maya. You know, real shock. I mean, some people get more attached, or they think that, you know, I just didn't do it right the first time. You know, it's like people have these serial marriages, you know, I just didn't do it right. Let me try again. Yeah, the Elizabeth Taylor Sampradaya. You know, but basically, there's no doing it right. You're doomed to failure, no matter what. Which is interesting. That's the way Krishna arranges this material world. So anyway, so sometimes, like Chitraketu or this Damayanti and Chandidas that I just described, you really have to go through some heavy times before you come to the point of becoming Krishna conscious. And then the first thing you have to hear is some spiritual love. You know, your real identity is not this, but like we're hearing here, that Krishna is giving you intelligence. You know, this mind is just a lump of matter. In other words, that child is just a lump of matter. Your wives are just lumps of matter with a soul in them. That's interesting. There's a soul in the lump of matter. Of course, that's the source of consciousness, where we're misidentifying with this lump of matter. So, and then, all right, getting back to the Shikshashika. So then you're ready for some Abhideya. Remember, Sambandha, you know, basic knowledge, Abhideya. Then you're ready for some Abhideya. So what is the first thing you got to do is be humble. Just like we're told about in the story here, Trinadapi Sunichena. Tarari Vasishna, Mani Namadana Kirtini Asadavi. You got to be. Just like Damayanti, Chandidas, or the story of Chitraketu here. You know, they just have to just like, what does humility mean anyway? I mean, humility means being submissive to the Lord's order. Considering yourself a servant. It doesn't mean just like groveling on the ground, you know, just like, of course, sometimes there's some external sign of that, like you take a straw between your teeth. That's the standard in the Vedic conception. You put a straw in your teeth. I mean, I've never seen a devotee do it. But, you know, sometimes we offer dandavats just to impress people. So Trinadapi, so more tolerant than the tree. I mean, being extremely tolerant. This is really important. I mean, because tolerance comes not just when someone is being subjected to difficulty, but, you know, the Vacho Vegam, Manasakrota Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Mudra Pashto Vegam. That's even harder to tolerate. I mean, it's easier to tolerate, you know, heat and cold, pleasure and pain. Summer and winter season, you just put on a coat or turn on your air conditioner nowadays. That makes it easier to tolerate. It's like it was in, you know, I'm taking the plane, going from one place to another, saying it's going to be cold, so I put on my long underwear, I put on my heavy jacket, put on my snow hat, you know, toboggan, and I tolerate. So, but the hardest thing is to tolerate this internal pushing stuff. And being humble means to not take it seriously, to tolerate these things because you're not supposed to be the enjoyer. More tolerant than the tree, more devoid of all sense of false prestige and ready to offer all respects. So that's the hardest one, offering respects to others because you think you're good, but you have to offer respects to others. Anyway, and then you're ready to become a little detached from the material world. Because if you're not humble, you can't become detached. And so the next verse in the Shikshashika is basically how to become detached. Nadanam Najanam, Listen to Rim. Kavitam Jagadisha Kamaye, Mama Janmani, Janmani Shri Bhavatad Bhakti Hoi Tukitway. I'm not interested in dhanam, wealth, janam, followers, sundarims, little beautiful girls. It's interesting. Sundarim, all I want is your devotional service life after life. So these are all prerequisites. And this, but this is part of Abhideya. And then you get, I mean, this is part of Vaidhi Abhideya. And then you get into Raghunuga, partial Raghunuga. Ayananda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Budo Kripaya Tava Padabankaja Stita Duli Sadrasham Vachintya. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servant. But somehow or other I fall into this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please, you know, you're pleading with the Lord. So the emotions are starting to come out. It's not only that you're saying, I'm not interested in this, I'm not interested in this, I'm not interested in that. But your actual bhava starts to manifest at that point. Get me out of the material world. I mean, in other words, there's some disgust with the material world because that's one of the indirect bhavas. Ghastliness. Like Sri Padmanabhacharya says, since I've been tasting this nice Krishna consciousness, Navanavaras, again and again, whenever I think of this sex life, I go, bleh! I spit. That's called ghastliness. Actually, when Prabhupada was reciting that verse one time, he actually spat. He was getting in the mood of Jamunacharya. Jamunacharya actually had a very interesting life because he was saved from the being like a king by his uncle. I mean, just say, was it grandfather or uncle? I forget. Grandfather. He was just saved and just like, wow, what am I doing here? He was reminded. And then he's just thinking of the past. Ooh, yuck! So that's ghastly. So also when the Shikshashika says this horrible ocean of birth and death. Isn't it? I've fallen down this horrible ocean of birth and death. And then you get further into emotions. Nayanam galu rashraya varadam gadgada vudiyagira pulaka nitjitam vapukada tava nama grhane bivishuti. I mean, you get this intense hankering, a volume at this point, which is a symptom of Raghunuga Bhakti. Because in Vaidhi Bhakti, you're doing things because it's rules and regulations. In Raghunuga, there's actually intense attachment and you're following the rules and regulations, but you're doing it out of like intense attachment. Also, you know, there's the thing about developing your relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. So, you know, so the hankering is there. Now, you know, when will I feel tears coming from my eyes when I, you know, chant your holy names? When will I feel my body, you know, quivering in my body? And just like Bhakti Vinod Thakur's song, Kabhi Habhi, Bolo Sevi Numar, when will that day be mine? When I chant, I have Zamruchi, Aparada Gucci. When will I get rid of the aparadas or the offenses? So this is actually the next stage. I mean, until you reach that stage, you're really not qualified for Raghunuga Bhakti. Until you're just like, I mean, it's one thing to be disgusted with the material world. That can happen. But it's another thing to have this in volume, which Srila Prabhupada describes as the price for pure devotional service. Or Prabhupada one time said, tears. You know, tears of hankering. And Rupa Goswami, that's of course from Rupa Goswami, where Rupa Goswami says that. So you know, Nayanamasu. So when will I be at that point? And then finally, you know, you stand to enter into the higher stages of Bhav and the beginning of Prema. Jugayatam Nimishena. I can't live without you, Krishna. I mean, how many of us are at that platform? You know, we brag about our advancement in devotional service, but we can certainly live without Krishna quite a bit of the time, like while we're sleeping, while we're looking at the news, CNN, or watching Spider-Man. Just like I was on the plane yesterday. Of course, I don't pull out the video screen and watch. But I was standing up chanting, and my eyes tended to glance over to the video that was, you know, in the back of someone else to see while I was standing up. You know, usually you stand up, try to stand up as much as possible when you're traveling. And then there was Spider-Man going through the streets of New York. You know, my mind just became attracted to it. I hate to say that. You know, he was somehow or other was flying through the streets using his web. Boom, boom, boom. You know, so somehow with these images that flash at you, you know, in these modern movies sort of draw your attention. So boom, boom. You know, he's trying to chant Hare Krishna also. Boom, boom, Spider-Man, Spider-Man. Spider-Man, you know. So that's like... It's like Maya. You don't even expect to be in Maya. You look, and you, all of a sudden you see Spider-Man. It's in, you know, the backs of the seats, because every back of the seat has a video screen. I just don't pull mine up anymore. There's too much Maya. You know, I have reading to do on the plane, but you know, sometimes it's just you look at something, just like a Jamil. He looked at something, and of course it wasn't Spider-Man, and it was Spider-Woman. He got attracted to. And so, so to be on a higher stage means you just can't bear to be without Krishna. Yugayatam nimishena chakshusha pravashayana. It's just like so painful. A moment is like a yuga cycle. So this is the higher stage of bhava and the beginning of praying. Yugayatam nimishena chakshusha pravashayana shunya. The world is just like useless, void, hopeless. No meaning without you. When can we reach this stage? And then you go in. Shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda vidhena govinda feeling your separation. Like this. So, and then finally, after taking, so you have to do this progressively. You know, you can't just jump up like people go to Radhakund and just jump up and think, you know, Krishna, you can crush me by the last verse, of course, Ashli Shiva. So, Krishna, you can crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted, completely free to do anything and everything. No. I mean, if someone is actually qualified to be a Radhakund, they have to think like that. Krishna, you can do anything. You put me in painful situations. You can send me to hell. You can make everyone hate me. You can give me this sickness. Maybe cough like anything. So you can leave me in the temple. No one's coming to Mangalarati except for me. You know, anyways. You know, no one loves me. Anyway, that's another subject matter. So then you're ready to stay at Radhakund. At that point, that's the prerequisite for being at Radhakund. But it, you know, it takes some time. Just like George Harrison said, it takes so long, you know. Anyway, so it just takes time. So we have to go progressively. So here are the prayers, getting back to the point. Here are the prayers that are being given to Chitraketu are meant to gradually elevate him to the point of being able to, first of all, sadhana bhakti, and then the higher stage of sadhana, the Raghunuga, and then Baba. And he goes pretty quickly. Yeah. I mean, after a few prayers, he's able to see Krishna. So I wish it would work this way for me. But anyway, sometimes in these stories, the time is actually compressed just for our sake. I mean, obviously, if you just read for the next 200 chapters how Chitraketu kept chanting every day for the next 50 years, and finally he saw Krishna, I mean, it wouldn't be so interesting. So you compress the time for us, for our sake. And in many of the stories, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he does this quite a bit. But it takes a lot longer than we're reading here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not like after three chants of this mantra, Krishna appears to him and said, okay. And then he goes on Sankirtan with the Vijayadhara ladies. So any questions or comments about these things? Yes. Yeah, because he's conveying us through our Matatmitri Gyanam Aponam Cha. We're not seeing directly. He's actually giving us the information or conveying the sensory input to us through his material energy. I mean, obviously, we can't see directly. If something happens to the brain, like the certain nerves in the brain or certain things in the eyes that happen, then you start to see all the floaters instead of... Do you ever have floaters? Then it's snowing inside. Then your eyes become like one of those little glass things you turn upside down, and the snow happens. So, so we're dependent on Krishna. So we're not really seeing directly. We're seeing through Krishna's material energy. So it's actually Krishna's arranging for the seeing, for the touching, for the feeling, and everything like that. And we're an illusion thinking it's us. You know, we're thinking we're seeing directly, but we're not. In the spiritual realm, we can see directly through our spiritual eyes, which are a part of the soul, which are the soul. There's no difference, actually. The whole body is, like Krishna's body is, Angani, Yasha, Shakalam, Triyadri, Timati. You can do anything with any part of his body. Our spiritual bodies are the same. In the spiritual world, you can also eat with your eyes. You can also eat sugar and you don't get fat or diabetes.